Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Oh, yeah. Getting rocked in. I like that. I like that. South Florida High School Sports.com radio for a Tuesday evening. Larry Bluestein with you up until 9 o'clock. Behind the glass is old friend Danny Boy returns behind the glass. Welcome back. Welcome back.
Great to be back, Blue.
I'm always always smiling face. We've been watching your exploits, and wow, I'm so happy to have you there because Chang's over there, I'm sure, bossing you around.
Wonderful little role reversal.
Yeah, it is. Manny Chang also over there, the only man in South Florida that has a team as a backup for the team that he picks. I mean, it's amazing. But he is a Flyers fan, I will say that. And now he's an Eagles fan too. But the one thing I'll never let you get away with is that University of Miami tattoo. And then he likes everybody wow. Great show this evening for you. If you're riding home, I hope you spend it with us for the next 2 hours. It'll be an informative show. Second hour, we're going to talk to Larry Scott, one of the likable coaches that has been down here from the University of Miami, went to Tennessee, through the coaching change. He was the interim head coach. He's at the University of Florida now, and he'll join us about 8:45 or so. A great guy. About 8:30, Chris Merritt, the head coach at Christopher Columbus, and we featured them and St. Thomas Aquinas for this week in our spring team previews, and that's on SouthFloridaHighSchoolSports.com or WQAM.com, whatever you decide to go. Either one, they'll take you right to it. See all the stories, all the blogs that we have. You'll really like it. If you like recruiting and you like to follow high school sports, and a lot of we're college kids, and we have a lot of college guests, as we do tonight with Larry Scott. As I said, Chris Merritt, the head coach at Columbus, will join us, and he has an opportunity to be a very good team this year. At 8:20, a good friend of ours, John Battle, he's the head track coach at Hallandale High School. A double winner over the weekend up north in Jacksonville. His girls and boys won. And his son happens to play football at LSU. And John will join us about 8:20. And at 8:05, I know a lot of Hurricane fans, Danny included, will be at the edge of their seats as we continue to get everybody who has been in the class of 2018 and now 2019 on with us so the fans could get a chance to hear Josiah Pierre, Mount Dora Bible. He'll be on with us at 8:05. This hour will end up about 7:45 with Al Bagnoli. He's the head coach at Columbia University. As I told you, we run the gamut from Division II to Ivy League. And Coach will join us 7:45. I noticed that they were down in South Florida a lot the last couple of years. They have some ties down here, but certainly a lot of kids, if you look on their social media, you'll see a Columbia icon as an offer. Pretty darn good. 7:30, new head coach at Sal Plantation, Cecil McNair, will join us. At 7:20, one of those track guys that can play some football, Jacquez Stewart from Miami Northwestern, state champion over the weekend in the 100. Big-time kid. He participates in a lot of events. Also, one of the top-flight football players and football prospects who will start joining his team, I guess, pretty soon as they will get ready to defend a state title. But we'll start right off the bat with another old friend of ours, Josh Wilson from Florida High School Football. And he has really helped to revolutionize the way we cover and the way we get an opportunity to see everything from scores to prospects to teams, and has done an awesome job in the, I guess, Josh, how long has it been?
It's been this will be the ninth season this coming fall. So, and it's been It feels like yesterday, Blue. It feels like yesterday.
And it's amazing because of the fact that all the work that you guys do, and I mean, you stay up to all hours compiling the scores on Friday nights and getting the making sure that all the rankings and all the prognostications and the top players run and everybody gets an you know, that one meeting place, and it's usually on your social media, your website, and certainly you have done an awesome job. And equally, now you're getting a lot of, you know, as I go on and see some of your, you know, the people that are following you, you got a lot of girls flag football, which has really started to take off, and you've been a part of it, and you're right in the middle of that. Before we get into the boys, talk about how that's going and how much it's grown.
It's great. It's grown, and I mean, this is the third year that it's been two classifications in girls flag football, and you know, the most dominant team so far for y'all down there in this last couple of years has been the Miami Edison Red Raiders.
Yeah.
I mean, they're going to be playing, and they're going to be playing in the state semifinals again this coming Saturday at Boca Raton, which in May. You know, it's kind of nice to see Duluth, an area where there's actually, you know, there is considerable support for the flag football teams and where they've been established at, and that's going to be a great thing this year for fans.
Yeah, and I see the interest has really picked up in a major way. I mean, you guys cover the rankings and get stories, and but not only that, is our friend Joe Pinkos, who usually picks all the guys, and you know, he's done it for in rankings and all that. He's into the flag football now. With his power index as well.
Yeah, I mean, he does it, and it's really, you know, in Blue, it's really, you know, in a lot of ways, it's a lot of similarities. Yeah, the field might be a little shorter instead of playing, you know, where you have a full 120-yard field with your end zones and all that. You're playing with a 100-yard field instead,
right.
You know, and then the first downs might be a little different, but, you know, in the number of players you're putting out there on the field. But at the same time, the concept is like, okay, you're throwing the ball, you're running the ball, you're still doing certain techniques,
sure,
that the guys would do.
And, yeah.
But you know, you're just not tackling them.
No,
pulling
no.
The flag, you know.
But the ladies are pretty darn good. I mean, they're athletic, as we've seen in so many other sports, and basketball and softball and track. So you would figure a lot of them have been around the game. Maybe they're all, you know, they're dominated by males in their household, you know, and then they were around it all their lives and they got pretty darn good, because I've seen that as a case. Or in some cases, I see girls who just, you know, have never played the sport but like it, and because they're quick or they have a good arm, turn things around.
Oh, yeah, and then you get a lot of them that are multi-sport. I mean, you'll see a lot of these girls are multi-sport athletes, and some of them, they'll do track and flag football in the spring season. And,
wow.
You know, I mean, I can point on, you know, a case in point with, like, a team like Glade Central is going to be in the Final Four on Saturday for Class 1A. I mean, and that's, you know, they've had some of their girls on track, and now with track season over, they've got all their girls, you know, and the same goes for Edison. They've got some of their girls back, you know, with not having to worry about track now. That's over with. So, you know, in a lot of sense, it's like, you know, this is kind of good because of sport, you know, hey, these teams are going to come in full power now. They have all their weapons instead of being like, oh, I might be down a weapon here this week or here, you know, it's kind of, you know, it's funny in a way, but at the same time, it's like looking at flag football, you know, the girls, they do it because they are, one, they love the sport, two, you know, they feel they want to pick up football.
There's no scholarships or anything. Yeah, so... So they're doing it basically because they love it, because there's no scholarships available. And
Not yet.
I'm sure. They're pushing, I'm sure. Josh Wilson joining us, Florida High School Football. Let's go to the guys' side. It's really starting to build. You can see it on message boards. You can see it everywhere that, you know, we're already seeing who's going to be in the state championship games. I mean, we might as well not even play the 2018 season because it's already been played out. But as you look at some of the teams like last year, you look at 8A, you have Dr. Phillips and Atlantic were the two finals. I think that, you know, a lot of other teams in the South this year are going to have a say-so, I'm sure, with a program like Wekiva, who a lot of people have been talking about. You got some new company up there. Are you there? Did we lost him? Okay. I think we lost Josh. Oh, well. Well, that's okay. We only have a – if you can get him right back, because I just wanted to ask him about the guys' stuff. Yeah, I'm sorry. That was pretty good because he, from the guy side, if you look on his rankings and all that, you have a lot of the kids come back and from last year. But in 8A, you had your state championship, Dr. Phillips, which lost a lot. And Atlantic also lost a lot. And we have Josh back. No, we're trying to get him. Last year, Venice played in the state championship game. They beat St. Thomas in a 7A region final to go state semifinal to go to state. St. Thomas is, as you've heard on this program, loaded up with talent as well. Did we get him or no? I guess he kind of shot off. That's okay. We're coming up on a break anyway in a minute or so. South Florida High School Sports.com radio show, Larry Bluestein, for a Tuesday evening. As I said, we have a lot of show to go this evening up until 9 o'clock. We'll have Larry Scott from the University of Florida. We have Josh back. Josh, we left off in football with all these battles. I'll let you talk a couple minutes on that.
Yeah, my phone just totally shut off on me for some reason. I don't even know what happened. But anyways, but some of these battles, it was a thing like you start talking about some of these teams, you start hearing the familiar names like you were mentioning, 8A, the 7A, you start hearing about the teams, is going to win a state championship. I think it's premature. I like to see what the teams actually do when it comes to their inter-squad scrimmages.
Yeah, and, spring.
And the thing.
Yes.
Play with their opponents that they're playing for spring, especially, and I'm looking at the one big game, the one big jamboree I'm kind of curious about is that one that's going to be at Palm Beach Lakes.
Yeah. Yeah. That should be a good one as well. That should be a good as one. So, let everybody know how they can follow you. And I want them to hook up with you. Tell everybody social media, your website. Go ahead.
All right, FloridaHSFootball.com. That's where you can find everything that, is being published on the site currently, and everything, schedules are starting to be posted, schedules are coming out and all that. So we'll be flying those things. You can find it on social media, FLAHS Football on Twitter. Then you can find us on Facebook and Instagram. Both of them, you just do, say FloridaHS Football. So you just type it in on your search, and it'll should pop up real quick,
good stuff
on those handles. So yeah,
we're ready.
Definitely good stuff,
and we're all going to be listening. I get on there every day, get to see what's new. Josh, again, thanks so much for taking the time. We'll hook up with you plenty in the off season.
Hey! That's the case. If you get a chance, come up to Boca Raton on Saturday. I'll be down there.
Okay. Well, if there's no spring football, I'll be there. All right, man, enjoy.
All right.
Josh Wilson, Florida High School Football. Good guy, good resource if you follow it. A lot of show to go here in the first hour. Al Bagnoli from Columbia will join us at 7:45. Coach Cecil McNair, new head coach at South Plantation, will join us at 7:30. When we come back, Jaquez Stewart, state champion and track from Miami Northwestern. Back with you on a South Florida High School Sports radio show for a Tuesday evening. Larry Bluestein, Danny G is back in the house, and Manny Chang as we take you up until 9 o'clock this evening. Thanks so much to Josh Wilson from Florida High School Football for joining us, and he has the flag football going as well. As we told you, spring is underway. A lot of people are putting in some new things. A lot of people are trying some different kids, because remember, graduation, transfers, whatever it is. But at South Plantation, Coach Cecil McNair takes over, and a program that we know that even when they are down for a year or two, they have a lot of talent in the area, a lot of youth football programs, really good education, and an opportunity for the program to go. And Coach Cecil McNair joins us this evening, new head coach at South Plant. Coach, thanks so much for taking the time this evening.
Thank you, Larry, for having me on. I appreciate it.
Did you play back in the day at BA as a DB?
Yes, I did. played 2001, yeah. Abdul Hart, yeah.
I remember, oh, man. You know what? As soon as I heard that name, I kept going through it in my head, and all of a sudden I go, you know what? I know where I know that name. And, wow, that's
yes,
so you've been around for a long while. You've seen the way the patterns of all the programs from the private schools. You know, you remember back in the day when the public schools were the king. I mean, they, yeah. You know, the BAs and all. Now, even though they still can be, it's always a fight. But you're ready for that fight. I mean, you're a guy that has put a lot into this. Your knowledge is vast. The connections are great. The education, the priority in education is paramount. Talk about what you're bringing to South Plant for this spring and into the next year.
Well, this spring, bringing a South Plant renewed energy, renewed sense of paladin pride. Just trying to get the kids to understand the work that goes in, and understanding me as a head football coach, but also getting them to work extremely hard in the classroom to continue to excel in the classroom and on the field. So basically, we just bring a lot of energy, a lot of enthusiasm, and a lot of hard work this spring. To get the culture back to what it was, but to also build on Coach Anderson, what he has left.
Right.
And so that's what we're doing this spring.
And also, I mean, putting guys on the same page, you know, I mean, new faces, new places, kids who were not used to the spotlight and being that, taking that leadership role. I mean, this is obviously a great time to do it. I mean, because, right. I mean, there's right. No pressure, the lights aren't on, I mean, nobody's really watching right now. Talk about that process, because I know, even though you have your coaching staff and yourself, you need those on-field kids.
Oh, you always need those on-field kids that the lights are not too bright for, that are actually getting themselves ready for those lights. So we kind of have a couple of leaders. One of our leaders is Jace Collins.
Right.
Old lineman. He's very in-depth knowledge-wise. So he's rallying around, get the kids to buy in a little bit harder. Also, Cole Rettman, quarterback.
Right.
So we have a couple of those kids. That are stepping up to the plate this spring.
Coach Cecil McNair joining us, new head coach at South Plantation. You mentioned Cole Rettman. I have a chance to watch him. He goes to some of these camps that I'm at and throws the ball very well and really has a passion for the game. And when you come aboard, and obviously for the first time, that's the type of kid that you as a head coach kind of gravitate to, am I right?
Yeah, correct. Most definitely. I have been able to watch him last year because I was at Pinecrest last year. So I have been able to watch a lot of the quarterbacks, but Cole is one of the ones that I've been paying a lot of attention to. So most definitely when I first got there, that was one of the first people that I met. He came up to me, very personable, a hard worker. And the other person that I did meet was Jonathan Weaver.
Yes.
He's a good same way. Yeah, hard worker, hard nose, and is really excelling at his position. So most definitely having those kids around is something that every program has. But South Plantation has those type of kids as well.
Yeah, and guys like you mentioned, Weaver, who's been around for a while, and he's not only an example on the football field, he's an example in the classroom where he gets it done. And we had him on the show, I think, about 3 weeks ago, and that was one of the guys who carries all of those AP and honors type of classes. So,
yes, sir.
I mean, and tonight we have Coach Al Bagnoli from Columbia on, and that's what I do. I mean, I try to get a balance. Yeah, we can get all the Miami's, Florida States, but you also show like an Ivy League program and how they go about things. And obviously, if you get selected to play at an Ivy League school, I mean, you have something going in the classroom and you have most of the battle won. And you know that. I mean, you've seen that. You've been around long enough. Obviously, when you mentor kids, and we have a lot of coaches that do, that's got to be priority number one. And I know it is because football's, tomorrow it could be over, next week it could be over, next year it could be over. And you have to have a plan. I mean, you know, I mean, everybody, oh, I'm going to play in the NFL, but what is going to be your plan? And I know that you're a mentor in that way. Talk about that, too, because that's an off-the-field type of thing that helps on the field.
Correct. Well, what I try to do with majority of my student athletes is I try to meet with them, get a sense of where they would like to go to school, not so much football-wise, but if they have an idea of where they would like to go to school and kind of gear them towards making that happen in the classroom. Football is the plus.
Yeah.
So when one comes along for football, that's just an incentive to help them push harder through in the classroom. So trying to get them to really pick out the schools that they would like to go to and be a student
right.
First is what I really try to push with each individual player.
Coach Cecil McNair joining us, South Plantation High. Another thing, too, you need a good administration. You need a good athletic director, somebody who understands.
Yeah.
You need that administration, which is in the same type of thing. Talk about that, because I know that they've been very excited and embraced you unbelievably.
Yes, they've welcomed me with open arms. A.D. Collins, I call him Coach Collins.
Right.
But he's wonderful. He's allowing me to transition smoothly. He's helping me out in many areas. And also Principal Henson, she is great. When we had our interview, she was one of the ones that asked a lot of questions. But I enjoyed speaking with her on certain topics. And so the administration at South Plantation is wonderful.
Yeah.
I couldn't ask for a better transition into being my first-time head coach into a situation like this. So I'm very thankful. I'm blessed. And I just look forward to bringing them the success that they see.
Right. Right. And you know what, too? I mean, you mentioned a key in there just to have a rapport with everybody in the administration and all the teachers, because it's your kids when you're on campus. It's your kids who, they're going to come. They should be able to come to you as their quote unquote counselor, because you have the direct, the control of the kids. And I know that at every school that the coaching staff, the head coach are always, in with the teachers and making sure that their kids are going, they're not the one misbehaving. And obviously you don't want that. You don't want to be sitting in a meeting and say, hey, how come your kids are always down here?
Correct.
And obviously, you're going to have that everywhere, but there's a law. And then these kids, and like you said, when you have kids like Weaver and Rettman and guys who get it and are leaders, they are the ones that kind of handle that as well. And if you have that, I think you have a great nucleus of a team.
Yeah, they're a couple of the guys, a group of guys that really step in and handle the things that a teammate and or captains, would be able to handle before it even gets to me. Majority of the time, they're able to stop some of the things from happening just by saying, hey, man, we can't do that. So just having that, and then when it does get to me, having a rapport with the faculty, the staff, and administration, that they will come to me first and allow me to, be that impact and handle any situation that's going on.
Sure.
Like I say, it's a blessing in disguise, because, it could be the other way around. So I'm just thankful for this opportunity.
Good stuff. Coach, thanks so much for taking the time. We'll get over and check you out. Coach Cecil McNair, South Plantation. Thanks.
All right, thank you, Larry.
Anytime. Yep. Good. Sorry, I cut him off, because that's Manny. Hurry up. We got everybody waiting. I'm going to blame everything on Manny tonight. Thanks, Coach McNair. We'll switch now. We're still in football, but also track. Last weekend, as everybody knows, we took home some hardware, and one of the guys blazing along from Miami Northwestern, helping the Bulls do quite well up there. State champion Jaquez Stewart from Miami Northwestern joins us. Jaquez, thank you so much for taking the time, and congratulations.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
I know it's. I know that's huge for you. You've been into to track for as long as I can remember. I mean, obviously, and coming up through youth football. Now you kind of concentrate towards the football field, or do you take some time off? How do you make the adjustment now in the spring?
Right after the track meet, I had transitioned right into football. I started practicing yesterday.
And you're getting offers. That's the great part. I mean, you're getting offers, and so now you got to kind of go to the football side of things. To talk about that transition, I know that it's a whole different thing. I mean, you're not hitting anybody out in track. You're in great shape, but at the same time, you got to kind of get yourself adjusted. Or is that something that you're kind of used to as an athlete?
Well, I'm also kind of used to it, but it's actually hard. So right now, I'm just getting back into football shape, running around with full gear and catching the balls.
And when you, as we're speaking with Jaquez Stewart, Miami Northwestern, when you think about it, this has been what a great year for you. State championship in football, coming up big and getting an individual state championship, and your team did quite well as well. What has it been like for you? I mean, this is, you're only a junior. You got another year to go. I mean, most kids don't ever achieve this in their entire career. You've done it in 1 year. Put it kind of into perspective.
Well, since my sophomore year, this is probably the best decision I ever made because as soon as I came here, I already had made a name for myself on the track and not only on the football.
Yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry.
And it's been a great journey at this school.
Yeah, no, I mean, I see you adjusted pretty quickly, and there's a lot of, you know, and you take a look at Northwestern. You're coming off a state football championship. You had a lot of kids that were big-time parts. You had a quarterback who was one of the best quarterbacks in the country. You know, a lot of parts, but for some reason, Northwestern continues to be able to reload. Talk about that, and I know your running game this year may be as strong as any around.
Well, our running game is going to be awesome. We have three good running backs that just came in. And our offense, especially our defense is looking very good.
Yeah. And you think that the Bulls have a chance to repeat? I mean, it's tough because it's a tough district. It's a tough region. Give me the reasons why you think you guys will get you'll be the team to beat.
First, we got an awesome defense. I feel like nobody will get past our D line, and we got an awesome quarterback. This came from North Miami.
Okay, and I know he's pretty good. What about secondary wise? That's, I mean, you guys have one of the top secondaries. A lot of them have graduated. Talk about that.
Well, we have a good secondary that just came from a lot of transfers at cornerback.
Wow.
Such as Larry Robbins.
Who's good? Very good. Now tell me from a standpoint of the scholarships. I'm sure track has been huge too. But do you want to go to a college to do both?
Yes.
Okay. So what schools have been looking at you, and you've been looking at them?
Right now on the West Coast, UCLA, Syracuse, Illinois, Purdue.
Nice.
A couple out there.
I know that's huge because of the fact that you get an opportunity to. Now, have you gone out to see any of these programs at all?
I've seen one school, Toledo.
How's that for football too, and track?
No, just for football.
Yeah. We have a couple kids that are up there playing, which is not too bad. Now, I know that this coming year, you're going to be counted on heavily. Returns, catch the ball, run the ball. Is that what you want to do at the next level in college? You want to be like an all-purpose guy, or do you want to be a running back? What do you want? What would you like to be?
I want to be an all-purpose running back.
Oh, nice. Nice. Well, that's great, man. I wanted to get you on here and congratulate you on a state championship now in track and football as well. And like you said, you made a sound decision, and it's paid off for you already, and you got another year to go.
Thank you.
Good stuff, Jaquez. I appreciate you joining us. Jaquez Stewart from Miami Northwestern joining us on SouthFloridaHighSchoolSports.com radio show. Don't forget, we're with you up until 9 o'clock. Second hour is going to be huge. Still to come in this hour, about 6-7 minutes or so, we'll talk to Al Bagnoli, who's the head coach at Columbia University. Very good Ivy League, very good coach. Tremendous place to play in New York. I could think of a billion other places that I wouldn't want to be, and getting an awesome education. 8:45 tonight, as we said before, Coach Larry Scott, University of Miami, Tennessee, now at the University of Florida. Really a great guy and a tremendous recruiter and a good, very good coach as well, as we learned down here. At about 8:30, Chris Merritt, the head coach at Miami Columbus. If you had an opportunity on SouthFloridaHighSchoolSports.com or WQAM.com, just go on the website. You'll get a chance to pick out the red and black icon. Hit it, and you'll get to all our blogs. This one about Columbus, talking about how they look coming back. Last year, they were really, really, really close. They had a pretty decent lead. That talks about that as well. About 8:20 or so, we'll talk track again, but we could also talk football. John Battle will join us. He's the head coach at Hallandale for both boys and girls. They both won over the weekend, but he knows a little about football. His son plays at LSU, so quality football family, as well as being a tremendous track family. And then about 8:05, we'll hook up with Josiah Pierre. He's from Mount Dora Bible. A lot of the University of Miami fans are been texting about that all day. They want to check out what he wants to hear, you know, what he wants to say. He's already a commitment for the class of 2019. We talked about that over and over again. How that it seems, I guess, because of the internet and some of the things that they do, they get very tight. Whether it's Brevin Jordan in the 2018, all the way out in Vegas or whatever have you, it's extremely close. So that's awesome. So we'll get that as well. When we come back, we're gonna talk a little Ivy League. Columbia University head coach Al Bagnoli joins us next.
More visit edmoresawgrass.com.
Back to wrap things up with you in the first hour of two here on our South Florida High School Sports.com radio show, right here on Miami Sports Radio 560 WQAM. Thanks so much to Jaquaz Stewart, state champion in the 100 meters from Miami Northwestern, also being recruited heavily for football, and also to Coach Cecil McNair, the new head coach at South Plantation. Certainly pretty interesting. We were saying that Stewart ran, I believe, 10-3, 10, and I mean, that's just blazing. But then when Anthony Schwartz, who we will probably have on next week, turns in a 10.07, which is the fastest in anyone's in high school's run down here in the state of Florida, that's crazy stuff. So that's a lot of speed. We thank them so much. Now we turn our attention back to football, college football. And as I told you, South Florida, and every year, you know that from our South Florida High School Sports.com website, I post where all our kids are at, and then I go through, you know, each conference. And one of the conferences, you'd be darn surprised to know that we have a bunch of brainiacs, is the Ivy League. Buddy Tevens joined us last week. We talked about that with him. And one of the successful coaches in the Ivy League over the years, and a great guy. Everybody talks about him. What a positive influence. A tremendous coach he's been, and he lives in a great place in New York. He joins us this evening from Columbia University, Coach Al Bagnoli. Coach, thanks so much for taking the time, and I appreciate you joining us.
My pleasure, Lawrence. Thank you for having me.
You know, you take a look at this situation where being in a league that people always talk about. I mean, they'll talk about it for so many reasons, obviously high academics. And the one thing about South Florida, and it's happened, I guess, over the last decades, and you'll see more and more of our student athletes gravitate towards the Ivy League programs. I mean, when they had that kind of talent that maybe could put him at a Northwestern, a Duke, a Stanford, you know, colleges also known for academics, and they gravitate because of the history of your league, because of the how long it's been around, and the people who have come out of it, not just for athletics, but in every walk of life.
Sure, it's a very attractive place, and I think it attracts kids from across the country, and certainly given how good some of the academic schools are down there, given the amount of transplanted Northeasterners who are now residing down there, given the quality of student athlete, it just is a no-brainer for all eight of our schools to spend a considerable amount of time and resources trying to recruit there.
You know, when you take a look, I mean, part of your job is obviously being a salesman. You have to sell the program wherever you go. And I mean, that's an unfair statement because that's probably the truth for everybody, whether Division One or not. But in your case, too, you have such high academic standards. And that to me, I mean, this is a life decision. You know, you're not just, hey, we're going to Kansas, you know, and then this and that. I mean, this is something, Coach, that your family benefits in a great way, and then your family's family, you know, does that as well because of the decision you make. You sit in plenty of living rooms with plenty of parents, you know, trying to, you know, pave the best future for their kids. What do you come in with? What do you tell them?
I think you hit it, Les. I think, you know, when you look at a 4-year scholarship to a school that may not have quite the academic pedigree and some of the alumni connections, we try to phrase it as a 40-year life decision.
Right.
That you're going to come to the school, you're not only going to be the beneficiary of a great education, but all these schools have unbelievable alumni networks.
Right, exactly.
Very active, very involved, that help you on a personal and professional level and give you some opportunities that you're just not going to get from any school.
Yeah.
And so if you could be the select few that academically can qualify, that financially it makes sense for the family, then it makes all the sense in the world to try for one of these places, because even playing on Sundays now, this league has proven that we can place a considerable amount of kids that play on NFL rosters now.
Sure.
So it's a combination of your dreams don't have to die if you'd like to be and have dreams and aspirations of being a pro athlete.
Yeah.
You're certainly going to have a tremendous fallback plan if you don't make the NFL, or if you get injured or you get cut or whatever happens to you whenever your career terminates. And so you kind of have the best of everything. And so from our perspective, you know, you have to be able to identify the right kid, because he's got to be a kid that can undertake the challenges, not only found in being a Division I football player,
right,
but just as importantly, of being in a classroom that's full of the people that are the best and the brightest across the world.
No doubt.
And being able to compete academically in that arena. And you know, I think our league has done a really good job of identifying those kids, and they've done extremely well. And as a result, it's been a good marriage. You know, they go down there and invest time and energy.
Yeah, no doubt. Al Bagnoli, head coach of Columbia, joining us. And, you know, the other thing, as you were talking and thinking about how rich the alumni base is in your city. And you know, not to take anything, but you're not in Hanover. I mean, you're in New York. This is a whole different world. This is where people may strive to be in 20 years' time. But you're there, and you have a lot of, as you said, a lot of alumni that may have these jobs in law firms, at Wall Street, any of these different areas that are in that area or beyond. Talk about that, too, because I think that when you're selling that program, having a life after football is also extremely important to mom and dad.
Oh, there's no question. One of the staggering things I learned when I got here is that there are 150,000 living Columbia University graduates within a 45-minute radius of Midtown Manhattan.
Crazy.
And so when you just kind of look at what does a kid really want to do if he knows, it doesn't matter if he doesn't know, but whatever it is, we can have people in that profession that he can spend time with. He's a short subway ride away from. We can get internship opportunities in whatever line of work that the kid potentially thinks he may want to do, from Wall Street to advertising to engineering to architecture to management. It doesn't matter. And you can do it with such convenience that it does not impede upon the kid's day. What we find here is that the kid's schedule, given the academics and the athletics, becomes very, very tight.
Oh, yeah.
So the less time you can take, you know, to go and shadow somebody, to spend time with somebody to see if that's a profession that may make sense for you.
Yeah, yeah.
Well before you intern. You know, that's a huge positive, but everything is here. And ironically, our hashtag says only here.
Yeah.
And that's a very accurate description. Only here can you do all the things I just mentioned, and then, you know, 10,000 more things.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you're 100%. I mean, you know, I know people are listening tonight down here, and they have been, you know, enamored with the Ivy League, and you just kind of painted a huge picture, Coach, of how it is.
Yeah, yeah. Now it's selective because of all the requirements that you need. So it's not carte blanche admissions, and so people got to feel that. This person, whoever you take into this arena, is going to be able to successfully compete academically.
Yes.
We don't want to see failures. And overwhelmingly, our kids succeed on a high level. And then, obviously, the financial aid has to make some sense.
Yes.
But if those two things are in place, you know, it becomes a tremendously attractive alternative to some of the other places that he can go.
Coach, let's talk a little bit about the league from a football standpoint. Obviously, when I was a kid, the Calvin Hills of this world, and then later on, I know people down here with Jay Fiedler, and they know his exploits. Sure. Talk about that as far as, you know, the competitiveness, because we watch it. We watch the league down here. It's on, you know, during the fall, and the kids are big time, and you may be a step slow or an inch short, but they're competitive and they showed. Yeah. Talk about the brand of football that you see every Saturday.
Yeah, I think I think from top to bottom, it's probably as competitive as it's been during my tenure.
Right.
Because of the academic constraints and the way it's balanced, it just allows for tremendous parity. And so everybody invests a tremendous amount of money in identification of athletes. They invest a tremendous amount of money in just trying to enhance their athlete, you know, with the strength and performance stuff, with speed, with nutrition. And so we're all really invested to get that athlete that may not be 6'5", you know, he's only 6'3",
right,
but really is dynamic, has all the other intangibles that you want in a kid. And so I think the league overall quality has been tremendous. And it's allowed for tremendous competition week in and week out, and we're to the point now where anybody can beat anybody.
Yeah.
And I think that's how you kind of want the league to operate. So it's tremendously competitive. It's exciting because our kids can handle a huge volume of information, so you can be as multiple as you want to be and not worry about overloading the kids.
Coaches out there are upset at you right now, I'll tell you.
Well, again.
But you paid your dues. Yeah, no,
yeah.
You're right. I mean, you still got to coach them. But at the same time, these kids' capacity to pick things up may be a little bit more, you know, than most. But like you said, I mean, you know, Mark Richt talks about it at the University of Miami or Butch Davis over at FIU. You know, you don't want to overload a kid at any level. You know, you give them what you can give them, and, you know, you teach them what you can teach them, and the rest will take care of itself. Yeah. But, listen, it's been a delight talking to you. I know that you guys have a challenging schedule every year, as you said. Now the league is competitive. After Harvard went on that crazy run about 5-6 years ago, where they I remember that, then everything is evened off. Penn started doing pretty good. Dartmouth, yourself.
So
I agree with you, Coach. I appreciate you taking the time. Enjoyed the talk, and I'm glad you're down here as well recruiting. Thanks so much.
Yeah, we'll be there.
All right.
Thanks, Lawrence.
Thank you. All right, I appreciate it. He's calling me Lawrence, and it's getting me a little bit nervous. Wow.
Only your mother calls you Lawrence.
Somebody. I'm thinking, wow, he probably read, his name is Lawrence. Wow. Wow, he's good. He was good. Everybody tells it, if you play in an Ivy League schedule, you better be able to bring it. You better be able to bring it in the classroom. You're not going to be able to miss time. That's for darn sure.
I mean, I would say that of all the lower grade, I guess, college football out there, the Ivy League is actually really underrated for the class of football they have going on there.
Yeah, Jay Fiedler had. I'm telling you, remember when he was pretty good. Well, we're coming up against the break. We're here for another hour. I'm telling you, if you thought the first hour with Josh Wilson, Jaquez Stewart, and Coach Cecil McNair and Coach Al Bagnoli from Columbia University went by, next hour we're going to fly by. Great show, Larry Scott from University University of Florida will join us. Chris Merritt from Christopher Columbus. Coach John Battle, track coach at Hallandale. And then we'll start off at 8:05. Josiah Pierre from Mount Dora Bible, University of Miami commitment for the class of 2019.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.